Hello, welcome to Talking and Reading from Japan by Hidemi Woods. I'll read episodes from my books I wrote and talk about them here. I hope you enjoy the show with me. Welcome to Talking and Reading from Japan. I'm Hidemi Woods. I read episodes from the books I wrote here and talk about it, or talk about anything that simply comes into my mind. I hope you enjoy with me here. Today, I'll read an episode from one of my books titled An Old Tree in Kyoto. Today's episode is called My Head on His Arm. It's about the night when my late grandfather came to my house for a sleepover. My head on his arm. I loved my grandfather on my mother's side so much. He lived in a small town that was a 20-minute drive from my family's home. We used to visit him quite often, and occasionally he also came to our house with my grandmother. At times, they stayed overnight, in which case my sister and I would scramble to sleep next to him. I won the place one night, and he offered his arm for my head. I slept with my head on his arm, which wasn't so comfortable, to be honest. I woke up with a slight pain in my neck. After they left, I began to feel sick and skipped school the next day. As my condition worsened with a fever, my mother tried to find the cause. I told her I had been sick since I slept with my head on my grandfather's arm. She picked up the phone and reported it to my grandmother for complaint. It took me a week to get well, but seemed nothing but a cold after all. I concluded my grandfather's arm didn't cause my illness. When I met him again, he told me he would never sleep beside me. He explained how relentless verbal attacks from my grandmother had been. She had blamed him for causing my illness every day, although he knew his arm had nothing to do with it. For him, it was an exact situation of biting the hand that feeds you. True to his word, he had never let me sleep beside him ever since, no matter how much I pestered. I wondered how severely my grandmother ranted him. That was today's episode. As I often mentioned here, I really loved my grandfather on my mother's side. He was a special person because he was such a perfectly nice, kind, gentle person. And my grandparents on my mother's side were so close and so happily married. They talk to each other all the time and got along well, very, very much. They loved each other so deeply. And I had never seen that happy couple like them. To me, they were the best couple. And although they were old, they cared each other, especially my grandfather cared my grandmother so much, and he really, really loved her. My grandmother's jokes cracked him every time, and he just loved to talk with her. And almost every gesture of hers made him smile and made him happy. And he always talked about her with a smile and so happily, merrily. To me, he simply loved her, or he had been into her so much. And like I said, I had never seen that perfect couple, and so I couldn't imagine how sad my grandmother felt when my grandfather passed away. But in hindsight, was a little bit one-sided love to me. It looked like that way to me, because while my grandfather really loved her, my grandmother was, she loved him all right, but she was such a control freak, and she always tried to control my grandfather. So she just she was just obsessed with controlling everything around her, every people, every situation. Her family members, her daughters, a son-in-law, and her grandchildren. She just loved controlling everybody, including my mother. She called my mother almost every day and told her what to do. Even so, it seemed my grandfather loved that aspect of hers. Even her trying to control everything made him smile and laugh. He thought it was funny. He thought she was such a funny person. And that included her controlling habit. So I just think that control freak, it's surprising, but even so, my grandfather loved her. So how deeply, I think how deeply my grandfather really, really cared and loved my grandmother. And he passed away, and I went to his funeral. Supposing how devastated my grandmother would be, because they were such a nice couple. But as it turned out, I was shocked that my grandmother didn't seem sad at all. She not devastated, not unhappy. She was just, she looked happy at his funeral. She just rather, she was rather in a good mood. And I was stunned to see how she coped with her loss. I couldn't understand why she was so, why she behaved merrily at his funeral. He passed away, and she was in a good mood. How could it be? I couldn't understand. But she was just talking to her relatives so merrily. To me, it didn't seem that she pretended it. She just genuinely, she was genuinely not enjoying, but just hosting that gathering so pleasantly, and talked with relatives around, and it's just, it was like her big reunion or something, family gathering, one of those big family gathering parties. She acted like that, and she she was old, and she just although she herself wasn't in a perfect condition for her health, but at his funeral, she just kept saying, "Give me beer. Where's my beer?" She just tried to enjoy drinking there. And in the end, she just went back to a nursing home by grabbing some cans of beer. And I took her to the nursing home. I went back there with her. And in our nursing home, her room, she was still in a good mood. And in her room, I talked with her for a little while. And while she was drinking her beer, she just mentioned that it was their anniversary. And that shocked me again. The grandfather's funeral happened on the same date of their anniversary. What coincidence it was. And she just mentioned it casually, but I couldn't handle it well, because it enlarged her sadness, I thought. So that was awful, I said. "You must be devastated," I said. But she, no, it's just interesting. It's such a coincidence. His funeral is our anniversary. It's funny. She stayed in a good mood and just laughing and laughing, drinking beer and laughing. And I asked her why she wasn't so sad about all these things. And she said, when they got married, that was their marriage was unique, because my grandfather fell in love with her and asked his parents to get her, because back then, as an old Japanese tradition, marriage was often to be decided by the parents, by the family. So the family decided, the family would decide who the son, to whom the son would be married. So he asked their parents that he wanted my grandmother to be his wife. So his parents asked my grandmother's family to come into his family as his wife. And after their marriage, soon after, quite soon, I assume it happened only a couple of months, maybe a month, according to my grandmother. One morning, she was preparing breakfast for the whole family. As a Japanese custom, they all live together, their parents and the son and daughter-in-law, they all live together under the same roof. And she was preparing breakfast. She cooked rice for the whole family. And suddenly she thought she couldn't go on like this. She thought this wasn't what she wanted to do. And instead of preparing rice, she wrote a letter, a note that she was leaving him. She was leaving this house today. Goodbye. And she put it in the big pot for the rice. Instead of rice, she put that goodbye note and left without saying anything to my grandfather or other family members. She just left to her home, the house that she grew up in. I had never heard that story before. I think even my mother had never heard that thing. My grandmother probably had never told anyone before that thing, because all those years, that was the first time I heard about it. So that day was full of surprises to me. I had never imagined that sort of thing had happened to that perfect couple I knew. And how craftily she had deceived people around her all those years. That fact amazed me. Although I had regarded them as a most intimate, happiest couple in the world. She wasn't happy. Only my grandfather was happy, because he, after she left him, he chased her. He just begged her to come back. He went to her house and begged her to come back, and he threatened his parents that if she had never come back to him, he would have never gotten married again. She was the only person he wanted to marry. So his parents were panicked and visited her house and asked her to come back. At first she didn't want to, but she had no parents. She didn't know who her father was, and her mother died on her birth. So basically she was raised by her distant relatives. So for her, she had no place to be. And my grandfather's place was the only place she found at last to become a member of one family. So she thought that was the only choice she had, and she, I suppose, unwillingly came back to him. And that meant she had successfully deceived me all those years, as if they were such, they loved each other so much. And I knew my grandfather loved her so much, but my grandmother didn't. And that explained it. That explained why she wasn't devastated at his funeral. Because I misjudged their marriage. I had misjudged their relationship. The truth was, my grandfather's one-sided love, that was a big revelation to me at his funeral. I couldn't believe I had been deceived for such a long time. I couldn't help admiring my grandmother as a control freak, because she controlled her image perfectly to me. So She was able to deceive me as a perfect wife to him all those years. She was good. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. I'm Hitemi Woods. I hope you join me soon again. Until next time, take care and be well.
Audiobook, The Family in Kyoto, One Japanese Girl Got Freedom by Hitemi Woods on sale at online stores or apps. Apple Books, Google Play, Audible, 43 available distributors in total.